Thank you. Well, good evening to you all. I'm still not used to it being dark outside already, but it's the time of year, isn't it? And in this time of year in our church calendar, we're approaching the end of our church year. We have next week the Feast of Christ the King. And always the church gives us these readings such as we had today. They're called apocalyptic literature, right? Apocalyptic meaning dealing with the end times. And it's a particular literary form. And it's important that we know what it is and also what it's not. It's found throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, or what we call the Old Testament, and repeated in much of the New Testament, today's passage from St. Mark's Gospel, but we're most familiar with it as the book of Revelation. To take it literally, that is to say a prediction of things that will happen, is not faithful to the meaning of the Scriptures or this literary type. It's intended by its composers and given to us by the church for a specific purpose, but it's not to foretell the future or describe what's about to happen or what will happen at the end of time. A second problem with it, if we take it in a fundamental way, is that it tends to avoid or bypass human responsibility for things that are happening. You know, if it's all about this great conflict in the sky, then you and I are just observers, right? Passive. And we are not passive when it comes to the coming of the kingdom of God. Apocalyptic literature frequently depicts graphic and even dramatic visions of end time events. And while the visions are real and they have a connection to a historical figure, they're portrayed in a highly symbolic form. And some of our challenges is to understand what those symbols are and what they mean, because they're really written in a different culture, a different time, and a different place than we come from. It takes a little study to really dig into the deeper meaning found in these texts. We should not get carried away by elaborate end-of-time schemes or descriptions, but rather focus on what is the purpose of this text. Why is it here? Why is it in the Scripture? And why does the church give it to us this weekend? Rather than being a description of the earth's end as a sort of nuclear holocaust, Revelation depicts the finishing of God's covenantal history with his people. So the pronouncement towards the end of the book of Revelation really summarizes it. It says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with his people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." That's what it's really all about, is that we come to believe that. And as we will see, there are times and occasions when that's quite a challenge to believe. One of my, I guess, most touching scenes occurs frequently in the gathering space after Mass is over. And it always is around a young child who's in a crowd of big people. And the child is overwhelmed and frightened. And invariably, one thumb is in the mouth and the other arm is firmly around mom or dad's leg. From that vantage point, even though the child is feeling overwhelmed, they know they're safe, and they can then not behave out of fear, but out of trust. We need a source of comfort when we are frightened, when we are unsure, or when we are overwhelmed. And apocalyptic literature is designed to get us in touch with those feelings, help us to see how we act when we are overwhelmed, afraid, or hurting. What's the source then in our lives of either strength or consolation? Our first reading, Daniel. He's the one God protected when he spent the night in the lair of some hungry lions, right? He predicted a time of unsurpassed distress. And perhaps we can relate to that. And when we read the whole passage, we see that Daniel's message was not about horror and destruction, but consolation. Your people shall escape. Many of those who have died shall awake. The wise shall shine brightly, be like the stars forever. Positive message, actually. Daniel's encounter with the lions was kind of a foretaste of the universal history. In spite of those who preach gloom and damnation, apocalyptic literature agrees with Julian of Norwich, who said, "All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." This is our faith. This is our trust in God. In the gospel today, we hear Jesus preach just before entering into the events of his passion. He had already warned his followers that he was going to be captured and killed. When that finally happened, the sun did go dark, as he said. And even Jesus cried out to the God who he led him to feel abandoned. But with the resurrection, God proclaimed the definitive apocalyptic message. God's love and faithfulness are invincible, no matter what. Now, we cannot deny that in this gospel, Jesus seemed to be promising a quick end to the world. "This generation will not pass away," he said. But maybe he was simply referring to those things that had begun to take place in his life, in his death, and especially his resurrection. Today's response psalm gives us that same message of God's nearness. "You are my inheritance, O Lord. My heart is glad, my soul rejoices, because you will not abandon me." Jesus says to us, "Learn the lesson from the fig tree." Pope Francis had an interesting reflection upon this in one of his meditations entitled "Times Change." He says, "Times change, and we Christians must constantly change." He went on to call us to understand the signs of the times, and that is to pay close attention to what is happening in our world, seeking God's saving presence within it. To do that, Francis cautions us, silence is necessary. We are called to observe and then to think, which he means to question. He adds, "Times change and we Christians must constantly change. We must change steadfast in faith in Christ Jesus. Our approach must constantly be moving according to the signs of the times." Well, today's readings could not be more appropriate as we live through this time. There seems to be a global depression and anxiety. In this world in which the media keeps death and disaster constantly in front of us, we Christians have an apocalyptic vocation. Faith leaves us no room to moan or spread fear about what is happening, but to cultivate attitudes and behaviors that proclaim, "God does not abandon us." In order to do this in a credible way, we need to listen deeply to Jesus' promise that things, even though they seem to be falling apart, that God is near and the reign of God is truly among us. Christ invites us to read our frightening moment of history as a promise that God is here and ready to transform fear into joy. Apocalyptic readings get our attention, to be sure, but they get us in touch with frightening feelings to affirm our faith. God is in charge. Jesus came to comfort, to encourage, and to show us the path forward. And he, we will celebrate next week, now reigns in heaven and on earth.